May God's grace, His mercy, and peace be with you all. Amen. Luke 12, verse 15. Beware of all covetousness, for a man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. Dear friends in Christ, those of us who recently have followed the continuing saga of Lance Armstrong and the Tour de France could easily get the impression that he enjoyed the journey while gaining his sixth consecutive Tour victory. Unlike most of the cyclists, he seemed to savor the victory well before the finish line. Today, God would bid us to enjoy our journey even while we are in the race of life. Through the merits of Jesus, He has provided us a rich inheritance, and He urges us to focus on that even as we live in joyful anticipation of it. Today's text challenges us to avoid being like the man who asked Jesus to be a judge and a divider of material inheritance that he shared with his brother. The man in our text is nameless. Perhaps it's because he is like every man from time to time. We can learn a lot from him, and because we will be talking a lot about him, I think it's only fair that we assign him a name. So let's just agree that for short we'll call him Pleon, which is an abbreviation of the word pleonexia, the Greek word for covetousness or greediness in our text. Pleon's story prompts us to ask several questions. Also, Pleon's plight triggers answers to these questions. First, the questions triggered by Pleon. Question number one: have we ever sounded like Pleon as we think or talk to ourselves? Pleon is totally self-absorbed. I doubt if there is anywhere in the scriptures a more self-centered parable than this. We note how persistently Pleon speaks of himself, whether that be in the first, the second, or in the third person. He uses them all and over. I counted 21 such references in just three short verses. When he doesn't use the I or the my word, he addresses himself or he talks about himself. For Pleon, the Trinity consisted of me, myself, and I. Question number two: have you ever, like Pleon, coveted having more than you had the right to? He definitely had the crackerjack mindset. You know, the more you eat, the more you want. In Jesus' parable, it is implied that Pleon had indeed received a fair distribution of the inheritance, but he wanted more. Regretfully, I'm aware that there are even a few pastors who think and scheme like this. I have a wonderful congregation, but I want more. I want for my friend or for myself to be a district president or to have some other prestigious elected office. So I'll just have to invent ways to make whoever's ahead of me look bad so that we can replace him. Or we might be tempted to reason like this: I've got a great wife, and that's true, but now she's getting older and not as attractive as she once was. And there's this sprightly young secretary who comes trippingly past my desk every few hours, and it just occurred to me, if I press the right buttons, I might have all of this. My friends, if Pleon's mindset ever brushes against us, can we resist it with the power of the Holy Spirit? Question number three: are we ever tempted with Pleon's priorities? He had a bird in the hand mentality. You know the saying, a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. He lived only for the here and now. All of his goals were this worldly. He never gave death and eternity a serious thought. Although he didn't realize it, he had a tremendous and a desperate need for one of Dr. Gibbs's lectures on the eschatology of Matthew. If he ever thought about life after death, he quickly ignored it as though it didn't exist at all. Question number four. Do we ever catch ourselves as thinking that we are owners of God's creation rather than as stewards? Pleon saw the plentiful crops, the barns, the grain, the goods, all of them as his. Never did he pause to reflect on the goodness of a generous God from whom flow all of our blessings. Nor did he give thought unto others in their need, or to give to them from the abundance that God had afforded him. Instead, his answer was always to stash away the excess and to build larger barns so that he might live in even greater ease and comfort. Eat, drink, and be merry was his credo. And note, he didn't add the idea that tomorrow we die. That for him was a non-issue. He would live sumptuously today in the now. There is no mention of reaching out to the poor Lazaruses of his day. It's just me, myself, and I. The things of this world were his possession, his obsession. So what answers does Pleon's plea for plenitude and prosperity provide us? Answer number one. First, about the me, myself, and I fixation. If we were to flip-flop Pleon's focus, we would get a better picture of what God wishes for us. He wants me to get over my self-centeredness. He wants me to marvel at and rejoice over his abundant grace for me. How could the Almighty Lord of the universe care so much for an infinitesimal being among the billions who have ever lived? Despite my relative insignificance in the cosmic sweep of things, yet he, God, loved me. He loved you, even unto death. How can we ever repay him? Of course we cannot. But we can give him our best. We can serve him and his beloved people with all that we are and have, as little as that may be. Yes, even our small service is precious in his sight. Answer number two about the crackerjack mentality. Like Jesus did in the wilderness when tempted by Satan, we can refuse to fall for the lure of all these kingdoms that are dangled before us from time to time. We can resist the urge to build larger barns at the expense of other people in order to store up unnecessary pride, power, and provisions. Instead, we can seek to share more and more of God's goodness for us with others by word and deed. Answer number three about the bird in the hand mindset, about living only for the here and now. We can face reality cheerfully and confidently, as St. Paul did when he wrote, "For me to live is Christ, to die is gain." As we live out our days and years in the light of eternity, we can come to see death as the hinge of life. Death is not unmitigated tragedy or a thought to be shunned at all costs. For God's child, it is a passage point from our earthly existence to heavenly life, forever with the Lord, our Savior. Instead of being fixated on material wealth, we can enjoy the riches of God, both here and more so hereafter. Here, unlike Pleon, we can live joyfully and at peace because of God's forgiveness and salvation freely given through Jesus Christ. Hereafter, by his grace, we can enjoy the fullness of the riches of God's love with all the saints, where there is no shortfall, where there is no longing. Answer number four, finally, regarding the question of stewardship versus ownership. God has assured all of his children who are good stewards of his gifts of grace a reservation in the mansions where our inheritance awaits. There, if we resist the pull of Pleon's greed, we will not only have immeasurable spiritual riches, but we'll also live to enjoy it. So let's put our trust in God, not in goods. Then we'll have life, and we'll have it more abundantly. In the name of Jesus, amen.